studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church in Linden. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are very thankful to bring this radio broadcast to you each and every weekday. And this week, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, a wonderful section of Scripture. And let me just begin today by rehearsing something I heard about John Bunyan years ago, and it really does connect well with our text today. But John Bunyan once gave an account about a dream that he had, and in the dream he saw all of these people gathering on the sunny side of a high mountain. But he was shivering and shrinking and in the cold. He was stumbling about in the snow and in the dark clouds, as he described it. He then saw this wall around the mountain, and he desperately wanted to pass through the wall to the sunny side of the mountain to find comfort. And so he saw this little doorway in the wall, and he said, I tried to squeeze through, but the door was too small for me. I tried, and I managed to push my head through, and I pushed sideways, and I got my shoulders through, and then at last, my whole body and I went in and sat down in the middle of the people. According to him, the dream meant this. In his dream, the mountain was the church, and the sun was God's comforting light of his merciful face. But the wall was the great separation that separates the Christian from the world. And the little doorway is Christ, who is the way. Then he says this, and this is the main point of what we're going to look at this week. The fact that the passage was so narrow that I could not go through easily was that no one may enter eternal life except for those who are truly serious about leaving the world of selfish wickedness behind them. For the doorway is only wide enough for body and soul, but not for body and soul in selfish sin. What a description, isn't it? This is a summary of what we're considering in 1 John today. And the question that we begin with then is, what is your relationship to the world? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he gives this very profound exhortation and calling for the Christian. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." You can see why I begin today by asking the question, what is your relationship to the world? John wants us to ask and really think about the transiency of life. He lays before us the fleeting, passing form of this world and all the things that belong to it. There's that verse in Proverbs 14, verse 12 that rings out in my mind when I read 1 John 2. "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." He says there is a path that seems right. It has the appearance of godliness. It looks pleasing to the eyes. It's so easy to set our affections upon this path, this way. This way even tickles the ears. It has all the appearances of that which is right and holy and good. And many well-meaning people walk this path every day. But he says, we'll find in the end, it will bring forth death. It will bring the fires of hell. What is that way? Might I suggest to you this morning that it has everything to do with what Jesus said when he gave those strong words, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Well, every Christian knows that that's just a description of life, isn't it? This terrible reality is before the Christian that he is constantly being pulled back into a realm that he has been called out of. He's a member of another country now, where his entire status has changed. And being a member of this country, he continues to find himself in this life away from home, actually crossing through the desert of his enemies, if you will. And this, of course, is no real surprise. Jesus had prayed when he was here for his sheep, that not one of them would be taken out of the world, but that they would be kept, preserved from who? The wicked one. And so here we stand, and Christians, have we really come to see, if you are a Christian today listening, have you really come to see that these two realms, these two kingdoms, are at holy war against each other? See, I fear that we have not come to see the radical antithesis, if you will, between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Oh, we live for self-indulgence. We live to please the flesh. We set our desires on that which is fleeting and passing and has absolutely no eternal value. And worst of all, something that is diametrically opposed to the God of heaven and earth in every way. And John says, no, loved ones. To the Christians, he says, this cannot be for you. And the question that we must answer this morning really then is quite simple, isn't it? And we'll work to answer this question throughout this week. Do we love the world or do we love the Father? Because it can't be both. We either love one and hate the other or vice versa. What are the affections, our affections set upon? What do we value in this life? Where are our priorities? Where do you set your desires? All of these sorts of questions 1 John chapter 2 draws out of us in our sanctification as Christians. And so listen to verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father is not in him. What a statement. He says here that we are to have one holy desire, one passion of the soul, one fire that cannot be quenched, one love that cannot share its affections with any other. And here John calls the Christian to not love the world. But instead, in the positive way, we are to love the Father. And here we see that two radically opposed loves are set in contrast to one another. Now, the first question, of course, this morning that we want to ask is, what does John mean by the word world? Obviously, the word world has many different meanings in the Bible. In the Greek, it is the word cosmos. One of the early meanings of the word world was ornament or adornment. We know this in verse 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, where speaking to women, he says, do not let your adornment, do not let your cosmos, your world, be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of fine apparel. Adornment here in this context means decoration, from which we get the word cosmetic, cosmos, cosmetic. It is the very same word used, of course, in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Here he's not talking about every human being in the world, or everyone would be saved, wouldn't they? He's looking at the world of fallen mankind collectively and saying, this is how God loved the world, the cosmos, qualitatively, not quantitatively. Not in quantity, but here's the quality of God's love for the world. How did he show his love for this fallen realm against him? He sent his only begotten Son. Cosmos, the word world, can also mean universe. It can mean planet. In John 13:1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But none of these fit well with John's use of cosmos here in verse 15. What John is referring to here has a sort of ethical dimension, if you will. He's speaking of the world in terms of its alienation from God. He's thinking of the world as it is an organized rebellion against him. It is against the God of heaven and earth. And John is looking at this entire world system, if you will, as opposed to him. We really do get a graphic picture of this. Remember when Jesus was carried away off to the cross and all of those cohorts of troops, those Roman troops came, hundreds of armed men ready to take away our Christ. That is a picture of the world's enmity against God and his kingdom. It is a fallen realm set up in opposition to him and corrupted in all ways by sin. It is equated with darkness. It is the entire evil age into which this world system operates. It is what we will later say the entire world, what John says, lies under the sway and control of the evil one. It is dominated, if you will, by Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, and in every way it is antithetical to God. Its values are not God's values. Its wisdom is debased and carnal, fueled by demons. Jesus said the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Sons of the devil, John will soon say. And what John is talking about here is a certain spirit and mentality that drives the world of fallen mankind. John will later say in chapter 4, verse 3, "And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." So do you see what he's saying here? It is a complete, utter, antithetical realm to God. It's what James says, anyone who loves the world makes himself an enemy with God. It's that serious with him. Now, we're going to flesh out a bit what that means today. But when Jesus arrived on the scene of history, he made radical claims. Claims that were claims like, you must leave all and follow me. He was calling people to submit and really repent and turn from their sin. That was his whole objective in his ministry. And the only way, my friends, is by coming under the yoke of another master. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. When you come to Jesus, do you know what he does? He transfers you and gives you a whole new status from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and seats you with him in the heavenlies. Have you come to Jesus today? Consider then, as you hear this song, whether Christ is your firm foundation. Join us this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. Website is lindenurc.com. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.